welcome to Monday. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This is Nick Wright right here. First off, congratulations to Sam Pepper. Our producer has been gone for weeks and weeks and weeks. We've been holding our breath while he practiced being a first-time dad.
Yes.
He succeeded, so he came back.
Congrats. Pep now the third smartest member of his family, which is his rightful place.
Well, I didn't say that, Pepper.
It's great to have you back, Pep. Absolutely. Should be the best show we've done in at least 72 hours.
What are you laughing at over there?
I thought you were congratulating us for surviving the weekend with that heat.
Oh,
it had to be 200 degrees here in New York City. If you survive, congratulations.
And it was so hot, world. Jenna had to cheat on her diet. She ate like 3 raspberries, 2 blueberries.
2 raspberries and a blueberry. That story travels fast. That's not what I had.
Couple Rolos.
No sugar this month. Big Monday show for you today. As Kawhi Leonard settles into life as a Clipper, new reports surfacing now that the Lakers are a little disgruntled over how his decision went down. They reportedly felt they got played by Kawhi in free agency and that he never had any true intentions of signing with them. Nick, Kawhi spurning the Lakers, is that more about the Lakers or that the allure of playing with LeBron has perhaps worn off a little?
Listen, I think this has a lot to do with LeBron, but not in the way it's being positioned. I think Kawhi understood something that Kevin Durant didn't understand a few years ago, which is if you are in discussion as the best player in the world, if you then team up with someone else in that discussion, that minimizes your ability to prove who you are in this league. And so I don't think the Lakers got played. I think Kawhi had a plan, which was, I want to get to the Clippers to compete with LeBron and Anthony Davis, not to create this big three, but I am not doing it alone. And so he saw how free agency went and the Clippers didn't sign any star. And then he met with Paul George and said, force your way to the Clippers. But I believe that if the Clippers struck out on that, if the Oklahoma City had just said, we're not trading him, he just signed a new deal, he's got 2 years plus an option left, we're not trading him, and the Raptors were unable to trade for Paul George or someone similar, that Kawhi maybe begrudgingly, but Kawhi would have signed with the Lakers because he wasn't going to go to the Clippers with no one, and I don't think he was going to go back to Toronto without another star, an additional piece than what they had last year. So I don't think the Lakers got played. But I think that Kawhi, and Chris, you can tell me if you disagree, I think Kawhi made the decision, I want to compete against LeBron and have the ability to win a championship in that manner rather than team up with LeBron and have people look at it similar to Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors a few years ago.
Well, I don't know if Kawhi looked at it that way, but I do know that once Anthony Davis went to the Lakers, Kawhi was trying to get to the Clippers. But once Anthony Davis went there, that was probably going to be a fallback plan in case he didn't have to go to Toronto. Now, he would have went to Toronto on a short deal because he is very, very comfortable there. And you can see through all the reports that they even tried to work a deal as far as bringing someone else to Toronto. Now, once he talks to Paul George, once Paul George makes those demands and the Clippers do what Kawhi asked. The Clippers were the front runner from the beginning because he had confidence in their staff, their owner, and the coach. And that was developed over the last couple years. LeBron being there, I don't think as much as LeBron, but Anthony Davis and them creating a super team. Kawhi did realize, though, you do need another player. I'm not trying to do what I did last year. And he made the best decision, especially given that the Clippers don't trade for George. It becomes between, do I sign with the Lakers or do I go back to Toronto? I don't think he would have gone back to Toronto if they couldn't have added another player. He would have taken the short deal, signed there in Los Angeles and see what happened in 2 years.
But Nick, the Lakers wouldn't have done anything different. They played it out exactly how they were going to play it out. They were going to wait for Kawhi. We realized early on they were going to bypass everyone and just wait for him to make his decision.
Well, where they would have done it different is if they knew they were not definitively, if they were actually 0% to get Kawhi, they would have been more active earlier in free agency. But I don't believe they were 0%. Listen, there's also reports out of Toronto that they don't love how Kawhi handled this. Listen, Kawhi handled this the way he's entitled to.
It would be,
to me, this would be a very different story if he had signed with the Clippers a week into free agency with them not having done the Paul George deal. If it was the team that they had the first day of free agency, and he's drawing it out, and Toronto's kind of held hostage a bit, the Lakers certainly, then it would look like, oh, he was really trying to undercut the Lakers' ability to put together their team. But he was waiting for not only a domino to fall, but a domino to fall that took a lot of machinations, that took two teams getting together, agreeing on a trade, the likes of which we've never seen. We've never seen seven first-round picks involved in a trade for a player who signed a contract the year before. It was absolutely on the board when Kawhi went to the Clippers and said, I'll sign if you trade for Paul George, that the Clippers were going to have to come back to him and say, we couldn't. We tried, like, what else can we do? But we weren't able to get it done. So I don't think that Kawhi and Chris kept hearing all three teams are in it.
Yes.
Right? At no point did they tell you on or off the record, listen, you can't say this, but this team's out. And I believe
even when other people were saying that, and it was being reported that the Clippers were no longer in the mix.
Right, and I believe one of the biggest problems, and this is something with the Lakers we have to watch moving forward, because people thought, well, if they meet with Magic Johnson because they requested it, that will help the Lakers. That didn't help the Lakers. And the messages that were being sent out there, the Lakers were listening to that. They thought it was a done deal. They thought they had Kawhi. But I can assure you this. There was only one team, and that was the Clippers, that they said, if you do this, we will sign with you. They didn't tell Toronto, hey, so if you guys do this, you make this trade, we'll sign with you. They didn't tell the Lakers, if you guys hold off, I'll sign with you. The Clippers. And it was the Paul George. If you guys make this, I've talked to Paul. If you guys make this trade right here, I'll sign with the Clippers. And they were able to get the deal done.
The Lakers did pretty well for having waited that long, for not getting Kawhi. We all assumed they'd get no one. They ended up putting together a nice little team.
Well, and it should be noted, the top free agent, they did end up getting Danny Green. What did he say when he was asked about it? He said, well, the opportunity to play with LeBron and Anthony Davis. You look at some of the comments Boogie Cousins has made. Like, the idea that, I mean, the people that have signed with the Lakers have made it very clear that the allure of playing with LeBron still exists. Now, all of that, and me saying LeBron, Kawhi and LeBron competing for best player in the world title, that all assumes LeBron's going to have the best year 17 anyone in league history's ever had. We've only had three guys in league history even average 20 points a game in a year 17. It's Kobe, Kareem, and Karl Malone. So that's the level of standard we are expecting for LeBron this season. We'll see if he can do it. But I think for Kawhi it was about competition, getting to LA, and not latching on with someone else instead of creating his own thing. And that's exactly what he did by going with the Clippers and getting Paul George to come with him.
All right, we'll take a break. The other big team out west, the Rockets. How much is James Harden willing to sacrifice in Houston? Hear from him next on First Things First. On Saturday, the NASCAR Gander Outdoors Truck Series returns to Fox. Catch the action Saturday, 12:30 Eastern on Fox and anywhere on the Fox Sports app. Oh, you know what time it is, CC. It is time for us to go viral. Thought you'd like this. Antonio Brown's insane workout, catching bricks midair, all while wearing, not sneakers, loafers.
Oh, some Versace loafers, too, now.
Well, something. You know
that. Those about $1,400.
I didn't pick that up. This might look familiar with our very own Chris Carter using the same method to help train Odell Beckham Jr. a few years back. How does this help, CC?
Man, I learned this from Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice's dad used to be a brick mason,
right?
You used to throw them off the roof. Jerry used to catch them. So now you do these little drills. They help with your overall dexterity, make all your fingers, your grip pressure. So all your grip, because typically when you're catching the ball, you're catching with all your fingers. I love this drill right here. The Vikings, they honored me by, I had one of these bricks. And I used to do this drill. They put one of these bricks in front of their new stadium.
Oh, cool.
And they have one. It's all in the hands.
That's the, and I would imagine.
I have it in my office. I wish you guys would have told me. I would have brought it down for my office.
Could you still do it?
Come on, man. Stop playing.
Stop playing, Nick.
Come on. That's the reason why we got this
thing. All right, this time tomorrow, we'll bring that brick down from the office. Let's do it. You made me do jumping jacks on Friday.
If I can't do that, I'll switch careers with you. I'll go on radio, and then you can get somebody to get my
play. Okay, no problem. Deal. Yeah, all right, lock it in, guys.
Fox going to go for that, but
no
we'll
problem.
See.
We'll figure it out.
Time for stories to start your morning. This morning, we're sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel. Falcons wideout Julio Jones reported to training camp on Sunday. Jones wants a new deal, but still has 2 years left on his current contract. He said, quote, Mr. Blank gave me his word. I'm not holding out. See, how important is it for the Falcons to keep Julio happy?
Oh, you don't have to worry. Julio's going to be happy. Arthur Blank, worth $5 billion. That's the reason why Julio tells his teammates, tells the fans, don't worry. Mr. Blank's going to get it done. Every promise he's made to Julio, he's been able to fulfill those promises. They love Julio there in Atlanta. Yes, he will be happy and a Falcon. He'll be there. They'll get the deal done.
This is the ideal relationship between owner, team, superstar, and most teams don't have this, where the owner can, a handshake agreement. Listen, we don't have it done now. I give you my word it will get done. Let's not have any distractions. You go play. We'll take care of it. If you can believe in that, if you can have the faith that they're not going to renege on that deal, this is perfect. So Julio will get paid sometime during the year, extend him long-term, because right now his salary has been passed up by a half dozen receivers who are not as
good
as
him. Only other receiver has that type of relationship with the owners, Larry Fitzgerald, with the Bidwell family there in Arizona.
Absolutely.
All right, on to the NBA now. Despite all the stories of discontent in the Rockets locker room, James Harden claims that he's good with Chris Paul, says reports of a feud between the two are, quote, false talk. Nick, what do you make of this?
I think maybe the reports were somewhat exaggerated, but obviously the relationship had run its course on the court. Doesn't mean they dislike each other. Doesn't mean that if State Farm says, hey, we want to do another round of ads, want to get you guys together, that they're going to be like The Rock and Vin Diesel. I don't want to see each other on set. No, it's not that. Professionally, they might not want to work together anymore, but personally, I believe there's no beef there. So I understand what Harden is saying.
Well, let me just tell you, I've been on a few teams. And if I don't want to be with you at work, I don't want to be with you after work. I don't think there'll be any more State Farm commercials there, Nick, right? All right, this is it, man. If Kobe and Shaq hadn't won championships, we wouldn't have ever heard the truth about them, how much they used to go at each other. Shaq sat right here. All that stuff was true, all right? In a situation like this, we don't hear about teammates not liking each other in pro sports. There's a lot of truth to this. State Farm thing, Chris Paul's like, that's my thing. That's not James Harden thing. I'll be shocked if he's in this year's edition.
All right. Kyle Korver agreed to a one-year deal to join the Milwaukee Bucks. Korver, known for his three-point prowess, how much is he well-known for that? Well, over the last three seasons, he's shot a higher percentage from deep than Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and J.J. Redick. Nick, do you like the signing?
Oh, this is a great signing for all parties. Kyle Korver, who's been in the league forever, one of the elder statesmen, but can still shoot it as well as anybody in basketball, and 60% of his career points have come from the three-point line. I mean, it's basically all he does. Spaces the court even further for Giannis and that team. Great fit. Great job by Milwaukee. Great decision by Korver.
Great locker room guy. You can believe that Giannis will be like a sponge as far as his shooting information. That's the way LeBron was. Mm. And I love the fact that, man, let's put some shooters around our star. We know how he plays. He's only going to get better if we space the court. They did a great job last season. It's going to be even better. Look for Giannis to try to repeat that MVP performance.
And you make a great point. Korver helped LeBron with his free throw shooting when they were there. I wonder if he can do the same for Giannis.
Two-time NBA champ Michael Thompson had some interesting comments about his son, Klay Thompson, who's recovering and rehabbing from a torn ACL. Right now, Vegas projects the Warriors to have the ninth most wins in the NBA. Thompson, though, has some issues with that, has high hopes for the Warriors this coming season. Take a listen.
Now, they're not going to be as good as they were last year. And by the way, I predict Steph's going to have about 500 threes this year without having to share the ball that much back in the back wall with Klay. Oof. So he's going to come back to his MVP form we saw 2 years ago. And Draymond is motivated to have a great year because his contract year is coming up. So I think those two guys, and with the addition of D'Angelo Russell and the other role players that they've signed, I think they'll be right in the mix, you know, somewhere between 5-6 seed until Klay comes back 100%, and then they'll be ready to make their move.
All right, Nick, no Kevin Durant. Klay's not coming back for a while, at least. You still think, and are you buying that the Warriors will be in the mix for a championship?
No, not for a championship. I think Vegas has about right, ninth. I think there will be two or three teams in the East that have more wins than them, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and then we'll see who the third best team in the East is, if Durant comes back early, whomever. And then five or six teams in the West that will be better than them. Now, by the end of the year, assuming Klay's back, could they be an incredibly dangerous first-round opponent for any of those top teams in the West? Absolutely. are Steph, Clay, and Draymond still as formidable a trio as anyone has in the NBA? Sure. But the reason they didn't win the title last year, in addition to injuries, was the slow decay of their defense. And that defense is going to be even worse this year. Over the last 5 years, here's the Warriors' ranks offensively. 1-1-1-1-1. Okay? Here's their ranks defensively. 1-4-2-8-10. You saw the year before this, the defense lag a bit. Maybe it was just because they had coasted to a championship the year before. They weren't as locked in. They were able to ratchet up in the playoffs. This year, they weren't able to ratchet up in the regular season or the playoffs except for moments. That defense is not going to be better with Iguodala gone, with D'Angelo Russell out there, with Klay Thompson, when he comes back, not being able to move laterally as well as we'd seen him in the past. So this can be a dangerous team, but not a championship team. And that's assuming, by the way, the personalities work well in the locker room, which with D'Angelo making $27 million and Draymond making $18 million, I'm not certain of that component either.
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for Michael Thompson, too, man. I used to watch him in college. When he's at the University of Minnesota, he used to wear this because he's from the Bahamas. He used to wear this, like, beaded necklace. When he was playing, okay, they allowed him to wear that. But this is a father talking about his son, all right? There's no – when you look at that, the historic – how good they were historically, offensively and defensively. It just wasn't all these guys out there passing, moving, everything. This is one of the best collection of offensive, defensive teams that we've seen. And now all of a sudden they lost Kevin and Clay's out and, oh, no, we're just going to keep going. No, it doesn't happen like this. This historic run is over with. Their chance of a championship is over with until they get at least another player. Like, they're not going to win a championship with their roster. Even I'll give Clay coming back 100%. They're still going to struggle at the defensive end. They're going to struggle rebounding the basketball. They're going to struggle with Steph. What position does he play when Clay comes back? Because he can't play off the ball, because if you have all three of those guards on, they're too small. Like, I don't believe in the West now with the competition. You talking about them being a tough out. All the teams are a tough out. Any team that makes it in the West is going to be tough. So, no, the championship aspirations, as far as I'm concerned, are over in this short window for Golden State.
Can't the Warriors, though, hang their hat on the fact that, remember we talked last season how well they were actually playing when KD was out, whether they needed KD. We were having these conversations. They figured out a way to all step up, maybe not completely
defensively. But it's not that team anymore, though.
Well, eventually, Clay's going to come
back,
Iguodala's, and I know AD's not there.
But that's a big, I know. I mean, that's the best plus minus of anyone on the Warriors in this five-year stretch, Andre Iguodala. Now, there's some noise in that rather than signal as far as who he was playing with, when he was playing. But he was incredibly important in the postseason. I mean, game six against the Rockets without Kevin Durant. 5 of 6 from three, Andre Iguodala. His ability to guard the opposing team's best perimeter player. Like, that is important. Sean Livingston this year wasn't good for them, but in the past he had been good for them in the postseason. But when we talk about the best teams in basketball, I mean, the top 10 teams, who has a worse front court than Golden State? The Lakers got Anthony Davis, right? The Clippers have they have Montrezl Harrell at center, but they also Paul George or Kawhi. One of them's playing power forward. One of them's playing one of their big man positions. You go down. The Jazz have Rudy Gobert along with two dead-eye shooters in the front court. Go down the list. Like, when you're the Warriors and it's Draymond and then who? Kevon Looney, who you got for $5 million per? Mm-hmm. Willie Cauley-Stein, who you got for the mini mid-level? Like, the big people in the playoffs will eat this team up. Now, again, I think they absolutely could make the second round and throw a scare into a team maybe in the second round, but they're not going to make their sixth straight finals. They're not going to be a worse team with this level of fatigue that then makes their sixth straight finals. That's, to me, that window is closed for this season. As Chris said, could it open back up the season after this?
Sure.
Absolutely, but not this year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I think people forget how important Iggy was to this team, especially down the stretch last year. All right, let's get back to James Harden. He recently reunited with his buddy Russell Westbrook in Houston. The two not only played together way back when as members of the Thunder, they played together way back when as kids for the Boys and Girls Club in L.A. There has been a lot of talk around how these two will fit with each other. However, no one had publicly heard from Harden until now. Take a listen.
I mean, I'm excited, man. It's a new chapter, but I know he's excited. He's been in Oklahoma City for 11 years, so it's a new chapter for him, and we're welcoming him with open arms, and, I mean, it's going to work. It's that trust factor, you know. I trust him, he trusts me, and, you know, obviously with the group that we already have and, you know, the things that we've already accomplished, it should be an easy transition for him just to, you know, be incorporated right in, and things should be on the go. When you have talent like that, it works itself out. You know, you communicate and you go out there and you compete and possession by possession, you figure things out. Throughout the course of the season, you figure things out, and that's just what it is, you know. But when you have talent, you have guys with IQ, you got guys that are willing to sacrifice, it always works itself out.
Well, of course, Harden has to be all in on the move right now. This is the team this coming season. Are you buying what James Harden is saying and the reason he's saying it, though, CC?
Yeah, I'm buying that right now. Yeah, he believes that. And he's going to try to do everything that he can. And they do have a rapport. They do have a history together. But I think the thing that's important is James Harden's got a lot of respect for Russ. And that's what makes situations like this work. Like, he's not expecting it immediately. Yeah, we love each other off the court. We do some stuff together. But playing basketball, we got to figure it out. Possession by possession, game by game. Once you get to the All-Star break, figuring out what we're going to do, that little stretch before we get to the playoffs. Also, how are they going to play in the playoffs? Like, this is going to be a question we're going to be asking all season and when they start the playoffs. Can they do this in the playoffs? Like, yes. These are two guys whose style you would think would be like oil and water. Both of them hold the ball a lot. Both of them isolate a lot. How are they going to operate on the court with the coach who said, we're not going to do anything different? So I can't grant them a whole bunch of, you know something, they're going to have great chemistry. They're going to have this because from a style standpoint, there's a tremendous contrast in how they both like to play offensive basketball and on the defensive end. Who's going to sacrifice on the defensive end? Who's going to guard the point guard? Who's going to guard the shooting guard? So this is going to be an ongoing, same question. It's going to be a good one in 3 months, in 6 months. If they get into a critical series, it's going to be a great question. So I don't know what's going to happen, but my biggest concern is not with the two players. My biggest concern is with the coach. What does he orchestrate to be able to help them build this relationship on the court?
And as far as what the coach could orchestrate, I thought a different coach, Coach David Thorpe, presented an idea in an article this weekend that I thought was really interesting, which was, what if the Rockets ask Russ to play the role Draymond plays for the Warriors offensively, meaning catch the ball not at the three-point line, but at that high post area, catch a free throw line extended, wheel and deal from there. Like, there are ways. It's like, oh, well, that's really interesting with his passing, his ability to get to the basket, his ability prior to this season to hit that mid-range shot. I do think there are ways.
Question, though. Yes. This would be my question. So when Russ rebounds the basketball at a high level, he going to get 8 or 9 rebounds a game.
Yep.
All right? You want him to give the ball to a center? You want him to give the ball to a forward? Because every guard, since they were little, and Russ has been taught, once I get the ball, it's my option to go. So you getting ready to retrain me?
No, how they run, I would imagine if Russ gets defensive rebounds, they go. They Russ take it and go. So that is an adjustment because this is a team that played at a slow pace. This is a team that wasn't get up and go, and it would, whoever got the rebound, pitch it to Harden, let him dribble 1,000 times. Like, no doubt about that. But the reason that I have some level of optimism for this is not just because of, if you bet on talent, Russ is right now more talented than Chris Paul was, but because, maybe this is naive of me, but for Russ and Harden, they've accomplished everything except for the one thing. They've accomplished everything individually except for high-level team success. Neither one of them have been to a finals since they played together, since they were both deferring to a better player in Kevin Durant, since before they were first-team All-NBA, league MVP guys. So Do they have the self-awareness to know that we both won scoring titles, we both won assist titles, we both won league MVP, we both broken records that people thought in this league were unbreakable? In NBA history, there have been 15 50-point triple-doubles, 6 the entirety of the NBA history, 9 by Harden and Russ individually the last 3 seasons. They've done all that, and they've been going home early. Russ been going home in the first round 3 years in a row. Harden's only made the conference finals 1 time. Do they have enough awareness of that to say, okay, we both have to give some, with more give going on Russ's behalf because Harden is the better player? That will be the test of the Rockets' season. How self-aware are they? And Chris's question, can the coach impress upon them, this is what we need to do to win?
CeCe, you heard what Harden said there at the end. When you have talent like this, it all sort of works itself out. I wonder what's more important at this high level of basketball, chemistry or talent? The Celtics, when Kyrie was out, just really had chemistry. They made it work. Now you have a team that's got a lot of talent. Where do each fall?
It really depends on the coach. A coach can really determine, can I coach talented players? I'm concerned about the coach there, not just because I just want to bang on the coach. Brad Stevens, how did he do with talent? He didn't do as well with more talented. Most coaches aren't like Bobby Knight and going to try to, you know something, my system is more powerful than any talent. Coaches will tell you, 99% of them, give me the most talent that I can get. But the problem is our talent overlaps. We have the talent to dribble the basketball. These guys are number 1 and 2 in possession of the basketball. Yep. And you talk about if Harden's going to play off the ball, if Russ is going to play off the ball. Both of their stats are awful as far as them playing off the ball. Harden had, 500 threes last year where he dribbled the ball 7 times. During them 7 dribbles, what is Russ supposed to do?
Right.
Russ was one of the worst as far as shooting 400 three-pointers. So what's he supposed to do? There is a huge problem from a style standpoint. So, yes, I'd like to have talent, but I like to have that talent dispersed around because I believe that Russ's talent is going to hurt Eric Gordon. And Eric Gordon is emerging as their second best offensive player. So now what does he do? So I don't believe in some of the things that Nick's saying because Harden is the better player. Russ didn't wake up this morning thinking that. So, yeah, there are people who are self-aware. Most of the time, they're not great athletes because they don't have to be self-aware. Look at all the things we've seen with Russ the last couple years that would say, oh, he's not really aware. So we're getting ready to see. It's going to be a major compromise, I believe, by Harden because it's Harden's team. Harden didn't get traded to Houston. It's his team, and he's coming off the stronger seasons, and he's the best player.
And of the best duos in basketball, this is the one where the fit's the biggest question. There is no question on LeBron and Anthony Davis. When healthy, there's no question on Steph and Clay. We believe there's not much of a question on Kawhi and Paul George. And Russ is top 20 guy. But there are other guys in that top 20 that are obviously a better fit with Harden. If the Rockets had their druthers, they would have rather had Paul George than Russ, who's around the same time. They maybe would have rather had Jimmy Butler, even though I think Russ is a better player than him. Mm-hmm. There are other guys that are obviously better fits. So it is a question of the coach's ability to get through to him and these two guys' ability to recognize we both have to give some. And that is the big question. Because your question about talent or chemistry, Jenna, in the NBA this year, you're going to need both. There's 10 teams with a ton of talent. Which team's talent plays the best and works the best together? That's the team most likely to be champions. The Rockets are in the game now talent-wise. Will they be in the game chemistry-wise?
Just like we started this show, Jenna. Went for the talent. Let that chemistry thing come on.
Just took a little bit. No, exactly right.
Coming up, did Kawhi Leonard intentionally mislead the Lakers in free agency? Yeah, I took that. Thank you so much. That's
good. Start with the talent.
That's still ahead on First Things
First.
Is like when we started this show. I was dribbling all the time. I had to realize got other all-stars.
Take it off
teammates.
The dribble. Let me see it. Absolutely. Let me see it.
Back here, First Things First, we're joined by Super Bowl champ Chris Canty. Look closely.
Are you sure this is Chris Canty?
Look closely Chris Canty.
I'm in the building.
But a little lighter than he was on Thursday.
A little bit. I had to cut the beard off.
Okay.
Got 3.5 pounds less hair.
She said, what are you doing with all that hair on your face, boy? Cut that off. So you know when Mama Canty say something, You gotta go take a visit to your
With
barber.
Respect to Mama Canty, has she never watched the show before? You've had that beard since I've known you. When's the last time you were clean shaven like this?
I don't know if Mama Canty gonna appreciate you calling her out like that.
Okay, well listen.
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you.
It's a big change for you.
Man. Don't think it's beyond her to roll up on you in the studio,
oh, wow.
Just so you know.
Can I just say, this is smooth and soft.
Thank you,
and I'm
Jenna.
How do you know it's soft, Jenna?
I don't know.
Okay. It looks
smooth and soft from my vantage point, all the way over here. Hey, filed under, it takes one to know one, Kenny. Brett Favre weighed in on the latest crop of young quarterbacks lighting up the league of late. The Hall of Famer said that Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes remind him of the way he used to play. A little reckless, a lot fearless, and wildly successful. That's some high praise. Chris Kenny, who's set up for more success this year, Baker or Mahomes?
Listen, I'm as bullish on the Cleveland Browns this year as anybody. I love what that organization did in terms of maintaining some continuity with the offensive system, elevating Freddie Kitchens from the OC to the head coach, and then what they did on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, that was an area of concern. They were the 30th-ranked defense last year. They needed to get better. They did upgrade in personnel. They bought in Sheldon Richardson, traded for Olivier Vernon. They drafted Greedy Williams in the second round. So they're putting some pieces on that side of the ball. But, I mean, I can't say that Baker Mayfield is set up to have more success than the quarterback that put his team in the AFC Championship last year. I mean, when you're talking about being in the Final Four at the end of an NFL season, and then the cast of characters coming back, the NFL not suspending Tyreek Hill, being able to have him, and then what the Chiefs did on the defensive side of the ball, we're making the move to get Frank Clark and signing Tyrann Mathieu in free agency, not to mention drafting a Virginia guy, Juan Thornhill, to pair with him in the back end. Like, I just really like exactly where this Kansas City Chiefs team is. And so I have to say that Pat Mahomes is going to pick up where he's left off. Now, maybe not the 50 touchdown passes, but in terms of the wins and positioning for his team in the postseason, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be right back there and again in the mix in the AFC contending for a title.
Yeah, I don't since 98, 99, Peyton Manning repeated as MVP of the league.
So more recently than that, maybe 08, 09.
Oh, 08, 09.
Yep.
But since then, no one's repeated. We have seen MVP, there be some, especially quarterback. When you have that type of season, we have seen some correction, typically 10 or 15%. Patty Mahomes, what I'm worried about this year is, if they try to throw the ball deep down the field, is the offensive line as good as it was last year? Because you can only do so much play action. And if you're going to throw the ball deep down the field, which they were the best in the league at, you have to hold the ball longer for that. That's one concern. Last year, 10 times either the defenders had their hands on the ball or someone knocked the ball out of the defender's hand. Those were 10 potential interceptions for Patty Mahomes. So that's a correction that's going to be made. You know the league is going to change some things. After what New England did to them in the AFC Championship, they'll try to duplicate some of those things. Will they be able to accomplish it? Some teams will be successful. So we expect them to come back to the pack. Now, what they have going on in Cleveland, I believe as long as they protect the quarterback, and people look at the head coach and be like, wow, man, he played quarterback at Alabama. Well, but he used to be an offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watched them last year, when they changed the season around, went to Baker, they started running the ball. So I believe they're going to protect them. I believe that the weapons, man, you can't split. Do I want Cleveland's weapons or do I want Kansas City? It's because the running backs, when they get Kareem Hunt. Mm. So what does it boil down to? Confidence. I believe both of these guys will go forward. I believe they will be number one and two in the MVP. Aaron Rodgers will have something to say about it. But the NFL will come back. And if Kansas City's defense don't get better, it's going to hurt their offense.
100%.
If Kansas City had the Browns' defense from last year, they'd be Super Bowl champs.
Right, and the Browns didn't have a great defense last year.
No, they were awful, but what they did do was take the ball away.
They took the ball away, and the Chiefs' defense was dead last in almost every major category. Particularly on the road, they were really unspeakably bad. So, first of all, whomever's more set up for success this season, big picture-wise, I do believe, and this is going to sound like a big statement, this is going to be this generation's Manning Brady. Two guys in the same conference who are the two best quarterbacks in football for a long time. Maybe that doesn't start this year with them being the two best quarterbacks in football, even though Mahomes was last season. I think that's what we're seeing here. I think with Baker and the Browns and Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs, those are, you might say, those organizations. Man, the Colts and Patriots weren't some great organizations historically, or at least in recent NFL history, prior to Manning and Brady becoming Manning and Brady. So I think that's what we're in store for over the next decade plus. The reason that I think you can make a strong argument for the Browns in this is because, to me, there are fewer question marks on the defense. If the skill position spots are close and the offensive line is close and if the quarterbacks are even kind of close, and Baker, we saw the second half of last year was really good while Mahomes was sensational the whole year. To me, the Browns have more known quantities on defense. The Chiefs did upgrade getting Frank Clark, but they lost Justin Houston and Dee Ford. They did bring in Tyrann Mathieu, but that was the worst secondary in the NFL last year. And those corners are not, to me, much better than they were last season, and they got torched all year. The Browns have studs at every level of the defense. They have a shutdown corner. They have two good safeties, and I think they are in the argument for the most imposing defensive line in football. Those, to me, are more known quantities than what the Chiefs have defensively. So if you're of the belief that a quarterback's best friend can be his defense, creating turnovers, giving him short fields, then the Browns could be, and Baker, in better position than the reigning MVP, Patrick Mahomes.
Brett Favre went on to say the thing that makes these two separate from other quarterbacks is they have the most incredible football sixth sense. When you're a quarterback, how is that important to the game? Why is that the one intangible that you look for?
Well, I think it's important to have a feel for the game. Anytime you start talking about players that have played at the highest level, like Chris Carter being in the Hall of Fame, I think you have that intangible. You have a feel for it, and you know the moments when to take chances, but you also know the moments when to pull back. And I think Pat Mahomes and Baker Mayfield both have that quality trait. Now, when I look at the teams, and I'm talking about when you look at everything around the roster, not just talking about the guys that are in the locker room, the Cleveland Browns, to me, you have to be a little bit concerned with the coaching staff and inexperience. Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach at this level. Andy Reid has been a head coach for 20-plus years. So, I mean, you have to give the advantage to him and being able to set the agenda for his team, to be able to understand his personnel and how to take advantage of the matchups week in and week out. I think you have to give that edge to the Kansas City Chiefs. The one thing that concerns me with the Cleveland Browns, even though they have a ton of talent, they got a lot of strong personalities in that building, and it's a relatively young core of players. Baker Mayfield, David Njoku, Denzel Ward, Larry Ogunjobi, all those guys are under 25. So, I mean, there is a certain learning curve that comes along with trying to win at this level, and then you throw into the fact that you have a first-year head coach. I mean, there is going to be some challenges in Cleveland. I'm not saying that they're not talented to overcome it, because I do believe they are, but I take the known commodity in knowing what Pat Mahomes and that Kansas City Chiefs team is capable of. Baker Mayfield has only got 6 wins as a starting quarterback. Games that he started, he's only come up with 6 wins in that 1 year. We saw what Pat Mahomes did last year. He had 12 wins. His team was in the AFC Championship. So you got to give credit where credit is due. Right now, the Cleveland Browns are just potential. I know what the Kansas City Chiefs are when they're at their best.
Man, it's going to be fun to watch these two this season. Candy, we'll see you a little bit later on the show. Coming up, do stars no longer want to play with LeBron? We discuss that next with Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. Stick around.
Deshaun Watson texted me, and Andrew Luck said, what's up?
Oh, okay. Oh, they're upset.
Yeah, I got you. You got to throw that guy in the
Yeah, what's up?
Just saying.
Yeah.
Back here, first things first, just swapping pictures on the phone. We're joined.
Still celebrating in Toronto.
By Hall of Famer, 2-time champ, Isaiah Thomas.
What up, man? How are you, sir?
How you doing?
Now, Jenna.
Good to see you
talk
this morning.
Talk to me, Zeke. Talk to me, CeCe.
No, I like that.
I'm talking on behalf of Zeke. Now, I made a comment last week about the NBA Hall of Fame. They just opened the door and people come in. No, my man kicked it. Give me it. I'm going in there. I belong
on
this.
Even with the NFL Hall of Fame standards, he's a first ballot.
Oh, there's no doubt. No,
Chris thinks the NBA is a little too liberal.
You made a very funny comment.
I agree with Chris.
I told you he would like it.
I know you would.
No, I think the two still, you know, top-notch Hall of Fames in terms of where you have to be, like, way, 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 way up there to get in. Football and baseball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got to do a lot of stuff to get in those Hall of Fames.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Now that the standards have been raised, let's talk some basketball. let's talk Kawhi Leonard, actually, who's settling into life as a Clipper. New reports are surfacing that the Lakers are a little disgruntled over how his decision went down. They reportedly felt they got played by Kawhi in free agency, and that he never had any true intentions of signing with them. Zeke, Kawhi spurning the Lakers, does that show you that the allure of playing with LeBron has perhaps worn off a bit?
No, not at all. I think what Anthony Davis did leaving New Orleans, and he's one of the top 5 players in the NBA, him leaving New Orleans at such a young age saying, I want to go to L.A. and play with LeBron, let me know that LeBron still has clout, still has power. Now, if he could have got Kawhi, then that would have been just, you know, the cherry on top of the ice cream. You can't. They're like, you know, maybe six blue chippers in the NBA. And LeBron had a chance to get two of them.
Yeah.
And and you got to say what Jeannie Buss and the Lakers have done the last two summers. Last summer, you go out and you grab the biggest fish in the ocean in LeBron James. And then if Anthony Davis was a big fish in terms of free agency and not trade, then you go and get him. I mean, they've had two great summers when you talk about the Lakers.
And I don't think it's fair to criticize Kawhi for how he went about his process. At no point did he make it seem like it was going to be at 6 p.m. on June 30th or at 6 p.m. on July 1st. We knew it was going to take some time. We knew he was weighing his options. He didn't, best I can tell, didn't make any commitments to any organizations that he broke. And he was waiting to see if the Clippers could do something that is, relatively speaking, unprecedented, which is trade for a player who had just signed a contract 1 year prior and give up an unprecedented draft haul to get him. So Kawhi was very judicious about the process. I do not think that he lied to LeBron. I do not think he lied to the Lakers that he was considering them. Now, maybe the Lakers' exceptionalism made them feel, of course, we're the leading candidates, when in reality they were second, maybe third. But if the Oklahoma City Thunder flatly say, offer us all the picks and staples, we're not trading Paul George, then Kawhi has to come back to Uncle Dennis and his people and say, all right, do we want to go to the Clippers by ourselves when LeBron and Anthony Davis are in L.A., when we know what the other teams across the West are? Do we want to go back to Toronto, deal with those winners, and have a very slim chance of ever reaching a greater height than the one we just did, or join up with LeBron and AD? I think for Kawhi, it was not my belief, the allure of LeBron has worn off. I think Kawhi never had the allure of the super team. And if it was just LeBron in Los Angeles, or if it was just Anthony Davis in Los Angeles, meaning with the Lakers, that would have been one thing. But the fact that they were both there, and it would have been phrased as, man, the reigning finals MVP is going to kind of stack the deck here. When we have a chance for a competitive wide open league, he's going to remove that the way Kevin Durant did with Golden State. That he didn't want to do that. I don't know that that has to be a referendum on the attractiveness of LeBron.
CC, if Kawhi didn't join with the Clippers, if they couldn't get Paul George over there, you think he would have gone to the Lakers, or would he have gone back to Toronto? Or would he have gone by himself to the Clippers?
There was a problem going back to Toronto, because were they going to be good enough? And if he could be in Los Angeles, he would have preferred to be in Los Angeles as a home destination, all right? So he requested that from the beginning. So they had a tremendous advantage on it. But I think you bring up the strongest point is Kawhi didn't have a great deal of interest in joining a super team. You mentioned it before. Two summers ago, what did they do? They went out and got LeBron James. Anthony Davis requests a trade. We have all this. They blow up everything. They bring him over. Kawhi didn't want to be a part of, well, how good am I?
Yeah.
That now, you saw what I just did. Well, if I'm that good and you believe in yourself, why would I have to join the Lakers? Now, Kawhi wasn't going to be trying to play, hey, me against the world.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting ready to knock these dudes off every year.
Exactly.
No, Kawhi's got a lot of sense. He played his hand right. Because let's go back to the whole thing. He communicated with Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. He communicated with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Shocked me. And then he went out and made the gangster move, Chicago style, called Paul George. Paul's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Go back over. Kawhi told him, go back over and tell them people to trade you. Wow. Kawhi Leonard, who doesn't talk, giving that type of advice that changed free agency. And I believe that the Lakers, if the Clippers don't make that trade, then the Lakers, he's going to sign with the Lakers. Toronto, if they couldn't make another trade, which they talked about with OKC, they're not going to get in this. Kawhi wants to win championships, didn't have any interest in joining the super team, Nosey.
100% correct, on point. And Kawhi wanted to go home, right? And the first choice was the Clippers, always the Clippers. The Clippers didn't necessarily have all of the assets to get that second player. So Kawhi said, I'll wait, right? And that was okay.
So you're saying when free agency opened, everything being equal, the Clippers were in the lead, even though Toronto had recently been crowned champs.
Yes, because you can never resist the allure of going home. And what I know about us as players, former players, we always want to go home, and there's a yearning to go home, play in front of family, friends, so forth and so on. Now, that may not always be the best thing, but that's all yearning, right? And when you look at LeBron starting a lot of this, going from Miami back to Cleveland, saying, I want to win at home. Didn't work out there with Gilbert and everybody else, so he left again. Okay, Paul George and Kawhi, those two guys went back home. And now they're saying we got a chance to win at home, whether it be with the Clippers or the Lakers. I think those two guys just want to go back home.
And even Anthony Davis was asked this weekend at an event in Chicago, I think.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider playing for Chicago? He hadn't even played a game for the Lakers yet. He's like, yeah, maybe one day. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, because it's home. So that was always there with Kawhi, and we had always heard it was there with Paul George until he re-upped in OKC.
Zeke brings up a great point, because even from a youngster, when you get to the field, you get to the court, you looking in the stands.
Yeah.
I wonder, is it my mom? Is it my auntie? Is it my
always
uncle?
Looking.
My cousin? Like,
yeah. Chris, last year, that last year where you ended up signing with Miami.
Yes.
Before you signed with Miami, before you officially retired, when you opted out of your deal in Minnesota, wasn't Cleveland on the board for
you? Yeah, I actually went to Cleveland, was thinking about Dwight Clark was the general manager. That was my grandfather's favorite team growing up. And to be able to play, because this is the thing. Typically, the professional athlete, you don't know anyone there. And if we had our druthers, we had our preference, I'd like to know. So I'm getting ready to put on this performance. I'd like to have some people who really know me be in the stands. And that's one of the allures of being able to go back home to showcase your talent.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. Isaiah, stick around. Coming up, we're going to discuss if the Warriors can win another title next season without Kevin Durant. That's next up, First Things First. On Saturday, we got a great MLB doubleheader for you. First, Aaron Judge powers the Pinstripes against Mookie Betts and the Red Sox. Then, all 5-6 of Jose Altuve and the Astros take on the Cardinals. It all starts at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. You could have been a baseball player.
It's a great doubleheader.
Back here with Isaiah Thomas. Zeke, you played against NBA champ Michael Thompson twice in the finals. His son, Klay Thompson, recovering and rehabbing from a torn ACL. He's expected to miss the first part of the Warriors season. Right now, Vegas projects the Warriors to have the 9th most wins. That's down from last year when they were projected to have, the entire title. Here's what Michael had to say about the Warriors.
Now, they're not going to be as good as they were last year. And by the way, I predict Steph's going to have about 500 threes this year without having to share the ball that much back in the back wall with Klay. So he's going to come back to his MVP form we saw 2 years ago. And Draymond is motivated to have a great year because his contract year is coming up. So I think those two guys, and with the addition of D'Angelo Russell and the other role players that they've signed, I think they'll be right in the mix, you know, somewhere between 5-6 seed until Klay comes back 100%, and then they'll be ready to make their move.
All right, Isaiah, are you buying that the Warriors will be in the mix for a championship with no Kevin Durant, with half the season without Klay Thompson?
They'll be in the mix for the playoffs. I mean, the West is so tough. But they, as currently as their roster stands, they have, very little chance of contending or winning the championship the way the West is. I mean, the West is loaded right now. And when you're without Klay and when you're without, Durant, I mean, that's a big knockdown off your team. Now, I do think Steph will try to have a great season. And when I say try to have a great season, I mean that the defensive looks that he's going to get this year is going to be intensified because there's no Klay.
Right.
Because there's no Durant.
Similar to the playoffs.
Similar to the playoffs. So the single coverage that he used to get is no longer.
Even with D'Angelo out there, it's not going to be the same type of thing.
Every time Steph comes off a screen this year, he's going to be double teamed. And this is what made Jordan, Kareem, and those guys so great as scorers, right? Because for 15 years, every time they touched the basketball, they were double-teamed. They were trapped. So they were always playing one against two every time they touched it. Steph has had the luxury, Durant and also Klay, those three guys together have had the luxury of always playing single coverage and then always playing against switch defenses where I'm, you know, matched up against a bigger guy who doesn't have the foot speed that I have or can cover the ground that I can cover. This year, I do think Steph will see more intensified defenses. I think he knows that, and I think he'll be ready to perform, and he will play well. I just don't know if it'll be enough.
And I also think the audience needs to understand, let's just pretend for a moment KD never pops his Achilles, and he re-signs with Golden State, and he's coming back full strength. And Klay has the torn ACL. There would still be real questions if that Warriors team was going to win the title, given five straight trips to the finals and the fatigue of five straight 100-game seasons. Just because they lost this year and guys left doesn't mean Steph is not fatigued. Doesn't mean Draymond is not fatigued. There are not many people in the world that actually haven't experienced something similar, but one of them who does sit right next to us. Yeah. You guys won back-to-back titles, but the audience should remember, you went to three straight NBA finals,
yeah,
and then that next year, playoffs was quick.
Five Eastern Conference finals.
Five Eastern Conference finals in a row,
yeah,
three NBA finals in a row, and then the next year, I think it was the first round. But yeah, but how much of that was that you guys were getting older, but how much of it was the fatigue of what you had done the previous 3 years?
It's the fatigue. And Mikhail and I were covering the finals, and we was having an interesting conversation because everything that Golden State was saying at the podium after the game, mm-hmm, he and I were looking at each other saying, man, that sounds just like the stuff that we were saying
right
at the end when it's over. And the fatigue factor comes in with soft tissue injuries. The soft tissue injuries of a calf, a hamstring, a quad, or you pull a bicep. Those soft tissue injuries really add up. And then the mental concentration.
Yes.
You just can't concentrate. You can't sustain concentration. So you saw Golden State, they're playing 4 to 5 minute bursts. And then you go, oh, they're back, but they can't sustain it. Where you saw a Toronto team that can sustain it, they can come first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. And that's because you're just fatigued, you're just mentally drained. And that shows up on turnovers, missed shots, transition defense. Those are the three boxes that you look at when you talk about
concentration. One thing I'd be concerned about, too, because I think you guys did a great job, Draymond Green. Draymond's going to be playing for a new contract. How can he focus with that mental fatigue? Because the one thing is, when you get mental fatigue, you do things uncharacteristic. That's what I'll say about you. At the end, I saw you do some things that uncharacteristic because, man, I'm tired of this.
Tired.
You know, I'm tired. Like, even when you walked off the court, if we could go back on that again, the Isaiah I know, oh, man, you congratulate them, man. Y'all took it to it.
100%.
I'm tired.
100%.
This is going on too long, year after year after year. I'm glad you brought up that point and mentioning you and Mikhail and the similar conversations the Warriors were saying at the podium.
So tell me where the Warriors stack up in the West. We talked about how good the Lakers were, the Clippers. You have the Jazz. You have teams that played well last year. I'm just curious if you think they are on the fringe to make the playoffs, how you would stack the West up.
They're talented enough, and Steph is good enough to get them in the playoffs, right? No matter who you put around him.
Yep.
He's talented enough and good enough to get them in the playoffs. What he's not good enough to do is overcome Harden and Westbrook. Okay, Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah.
Okay, right. LeBron James and Anthony Davis. CJ and Dame, right? He's you know, when you're at that level, right, that he's been at for so long, and he's going to be challenged. And the one thing that we don't have as little guys, and I call him a little guy even though he's bigger than me, right, but the one thing that we don't have that overwhelming physicality where we can walk into the gym and be like, look, I'm bigger than you.
Right. On a bad day, I can get you 25 steal.
Yeah, and I can hit you in a way that makes you say, okay, I don't want to mess with you today, right? That's what the bigger guys always have.
Mm.
Smaller guys, we don't have that. The only thing that we have that we can get by with is wit. And if we can outsmart you on that day, we can win. But when the bigger guy shows up, and he's playing smart, right? He's not making mistakes. He's stronger than you. He's faster than you. Then that bigger, faster, stronger guy is going to beat you. if he's not, you know, making mistakes.
And the fatigue part of it also, not for Steph specifically, but for the organization, it plays such an enormous factor as far as when you have been competing for championships.
Yes.
And you know going into the season, all right, we're not going to disqualify ourselves. We know this isn't a championship team. How hard do you get up for those games in February when you're not going for 73 wins? You're not trying to prove the world wrong on the Durant stuff. What little mini battles do you create within yourself? And it's one of the reasons why the biggest myth in NBA, maybe in sports history, was, man, if Jordan wouldn't have retired, they'd have won 8 straight. No, they wouldn't have.
No, if Shaq wouldn't have left.
Okay, maybe they wouldn't have gotten that other three-peat.
No.
Sure, but maybe they still would have won 6, but in a different order of operations. Like the idea that anyone, what Jordan's retirement gave that Bulls team, even if they wouldn't have wished for it, was a reset, a chance to have those shorter seasons, a chance to change the team up. The Warriors didn't get that. The Warriors didn't have some. Durant didn't get hurt at the end of the regular season, got bounced in the first round. They played as many games they would have played if they'd won the title. So they don't get any reprieve just because they lost, and that's a real thing.
Are the Warriors underdogs going into next season?
Yes.
That's
absolutely.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Underdog Golden State Warriors.
Well, they without Klay and Durant.
That's
true. They're underdogs.
That's true. All right, Isaiah, we'll see you a little bit later. Coming up, is Baker Mayfield already as good as one Patrick Mahomes? That's next on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, we're going viral. Check out 41-year-old Tom Brady gearing up for his 20th season, but it's not all work for Tom. Check him out with his daughter. They were cliff diving in Costa Rica. Okay. So
that's scary, man.
I had a little issue with it. I love Tom's appetite for all things that are fun and a little fearless and a tad bit reckless, but man, she's 6. She was not ready to jump off that cliff.
Well, this is the problem.
Landed
awkwardly. No. She faked him out. She was getting ready to jump.
Yeah.
I'm sure
and
they had agreed upon. And then yes, and then daddy.
And then at that point, you've got to pull her.
You have
at that
to.
Point, he did what he did what he had to do, because if he just like gently
then
tugs her ever, she could fall.
But
and that cliff diving stuff's scary.
Yeah. Let me tell you, though, when you play in the NFL, you play something in a business like it is, you need to be able to get away from the business. Life is for the living, Jenna.
Yeah.
You got to be able to do stuff like that, especially Tom Brady. Y'all send me the video, because Chris won't be doing stuff like that. I ain't about no adventure. But I love to see people
out there taking chances. I was just going to say, I don't see a scenario by which you would do
no,
that.
No, last time Chris was
I survived the projects
around,
and 16 years in the league. I'm okay.
And a trip to Hawaii. Well, jet ski died and you almost drowned. That happened too.
But wait.
If I survive you two, that would be the story of my life.
Tom has had a very nice offseason.
He and Josh Norman, man. Living life to the fullest. Jumping bulls.
All right, stories to start
cliff
your morning.
Diving.
Sponsored by Gillette Clear Joe. Kyle Korver agreed to a 1-year deal to join the Bucks. Korver, known for his 3-point prowess. How much is he known for it? Well, over the last 3 seasons, he's shot a higher percentage from deep than Steph Curry, than Klay Thompson. And then J.J. Redick. What do you make of the signing, Nick?
It's an outstanding signing. It also shows to me, in Korver's eyes, he believes the Bucks are what I believe they are, which may be the favorites to win the NBA championship, because you know the Lakers would have loved to have him. You know the Rockets almost assuredly would have loved to have him. I'm just speculating on that. But the Bucks, he can fill that role Mirotić played, but I think better. Mirotić went back to Europe. He can space the court, more reliable.
Yeah, he's a better
three-point
fit.
Shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And you, with Giannis, you need court spacers, so I love this fit for Korver and for the Bucks.
I love the model. Follow what LeBron did for success. Put players around him that make your superstar better. I love the fact that the general manager there in Milwaukee, they see that. And if Giannis, if you want to learn how to shoot in routine, learn how to get the ball up, improve your free throw shooting, Kyle Korver's one of the best. He helped LeBron out a lot when he was in Cleveland.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.